Well, good evening. Hope you guys had a restful afternoon, and good to have you guys out here this evening. We're going to go ahead and get started here with a word of prayer, and then Doug will come up and lead us in some singing. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to you for the privilege to be in your house. The opportunity is to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray, Lord, our time together would be a time of sweet fellowship, great edification, and most of all, a glorifying experience in you. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with us as we lift our voices, that it would honor you and reflect the goodness that you have given to us. And may you be with the many who are unwell tonight, unable to make it out. And I pray you would heal their bodies, you would touch them, and allow us to be a blessing to them through the live stream and however means you see fit. We ask that, Lord, you would be with us in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, good evening, Anchor Baptist Church. We're going to ask you to take your hymnals as we start our song service off. Turn to page 363. Stand with me. Page 363, and we're going to sing all four verses of At Calvary. So sing out with me. Make that joyful noise. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. On the last, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Turn a couple pages over to page 371. We're going to sing both verses of A Passion for Thee. All verses, both verses.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving Thee wholly. Purge me from earth, turn my heart after Thine. A passion for Thee, to love Thee with all of my heart. Father, fill with Thy Spirit and fit me for service. Let love for Christ every motive inspire. to follow in selfless submission. Be thou my joy and my soul's one desire, a passion for thee. O Lord, set a fire in my soul and a thirst for my God. Hear thou my prayer, Lord, thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love thee with all of my heart.
Go ahead and have a seat. And as long as you keep singing like that, you'll stay seated. But now we're going to turn to page 391. Page 391, good, strong song to sing out on. All four verses of I Am Resolved. Sing it out.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, facing the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Amen. Good singing. Pastor Chris?
All right. Sunday nights we take up testimonies.
Okay. First verse, it is well with my soul. Amen. Let's hear those parts.
When peace like a
turn to page 93. That's right in the middle. Page 93. Page 93. Bow the knee. Excellent. Good. Sing out.
What a privilege to come here to God's presence. Just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory.
Let's go back to page 80. Okay. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Couple pages over. Oh, man. Okay. We'll make this the last one before the message, and there is a special offertory or whatever what we've got to deal with. So stand with me. Can't sit on dwelling in beautiful land. So let's sing all three verses.
Far away, God. Shall move me from here.
that's one of my favorites.
Well, tonight we have Josh Zacharias. Get that right. Josh Zacharias will be preaching for us tonight. If you haven't had a chance to talk to him, meet with him, he's on his way as a missionary to Australia. He has all your support, right? And just a matter of time now before he heads out. And we're so blessed to have him staying with us and visiting. So we decided we'd put him to work and looking forward to hearing you preach, brother. Come on up.
Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's good to be with you all this evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity to use your prophet's chamber while I'm in the area working with the church planter up in Baltimore. And it's very kind of you all to allow me to do that. I was talking to one of the ladies earlier before the service, and she had mentioned just asking some questions about me and my ministry. And so I thought I would just say a few words real quick just so you know a little bit more about me and what I'm up to. But I want to thank the Lord. I grew up in a Christian home in South Alabama or Lower Alabama. Somebody was, I think we were talking about that at lunch with Brother Jerry and Miss Joanna about, I grew up in L.A., Lower Alabama. So that's where I'm from. Praise the Lord, grew up in a Christian family, got to go to my family's church. My grandparents helped start there in Lower Alabama. And I remember asking the Lord to save me when I was around 9 years old. Struggle with assurance of salvation, but I'm glad that we have the Word of God to help us deal with those doubts sometimes. And I'm thankful for the verse, Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And what a great reminder that was, just the simplicity of the gospel, just like Abraham accepting the promise of God for himself, we accept the gospel message for ourselves and we can have assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, I grew up in a Christian family. It was very easy for me to get involved in ministry. And so the Lord put that on my heart even as a young person. And when I went away to college at Pensacola, I surrendered to full-time ministry while I was there. And God began to give me opportunities for service. And a couple of those opportunities were mission trips. And in 2018, I went on my first mission trip to Australia, and the Lord used that to then lead me to Australia. And so, prayerfully, this fall, waiting on the visa paperwork, I'll be down there in Australia getting ready to start the work there, working with the church, and then long-term goal of planting church in Australia. All right, well, you are in 2 Timothy. Oh, I almost forgot. I have a special deal. special offer for you tonight. I have a authentic, genuine, and you can have this for your very own self, Joshua Zacharias prayer card. Okay, but no, seriously, if you would like to get a prayer card, I definitely appreciate your prayers. And I have one for the kids, okay? It's got a cool picture of a preacher riding a kangaroo. Have you ever seen a prayer card with, like, a preacher riding a kangaroo on it, okay? But hey, it's got a neat little a reminder for you. As you pray for Australia, pray that the gospel, like this preacher carrying his Bible on the kangaroo, that the Word of God will have free course through the country of Australia. I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 4 admonishes us to pray that the Word of God would have free course. And so as we pray for our missionaries, pray that God would open up opportunities, allow the gospel to go throughout their ministry into the country where they are. So if you would like to have a prayer card just as a reminder to pray for Australia, I'd definitely love to get you one of those. All right, we are in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at primarily verses 6 and 7. So let's go ahead and read that for a second, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray, ask the Lord to speak to us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. What a precious gift it is. What a treasure that we hold, this treasure of truth that we hold in our hands. And Father, we are mindful that we must approach this word carefully. We must study to show ourselves approved. We're mindful, Lord, that we need the Holy Spirit's guidance as we look into your word. And so, Father, we pray that tonight this would not just be a mere religious ritual, a habitual thing that we do on Sunday evenings, but that your Holy Spirit would meet with us and that you would use your word in our hearts to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you have your will and your way in this service. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I was interning for my home church in the summer of 2020, things were a little different, okay? So it was COVID time, and ministry wasn't normal, all right? We heard that word so much since 2020, normal, right? And when I was interning at my home church, the youth pastor, though, we still had a Wednesday night youth group, he asked me to preach a message for him to the youth group. And it just so happened he was going through a series on emotions, and the emotion that he had me preach on was fear. Now, how applicable was the topic of fear for 2020? It was pretty applicable. And I don't know about you, but when I think of fear, one of the first verses that comes to my mind is 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And so I thought, oh, man, I've got my text ready. You know, I'll preach on 2 Timothy 1:7. I said, sure, I can do that, no problem. And I preached on that. I preached the message on fear for the youth group. But as I got into the study there, I realized that verse number 7, really, I don't think is the main point of this passage, verses 1 through 7. I actually think the main point is found in verse 6. And so what we want to do tonight to get started is just to read down from verse 1. Down to verse 6 and 7, and kind of get a feel for what is going on here, what the Apostle Paul is talking about through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and see what is the major emphasis here in this passage, and then see how it applies to us as well. So let's start in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So we see Paul the Apostle is the author, and he's writing to Timothy. Now notice he says, my dearly beloved son. So there is a very close connection here, a very close relationship. The Apostle Paul met Timothy on his second missionary journey. And it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 2, that it was well reported of. Timothy's testimony, it was well reported of. He had a good reputation in the church there. He was apparently an upstanding young man in the church. And Paul took him, so to speak, to be his apprentice, to be his intern. And so Timothy began helping the Apostle Paul in ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Apostle Paul identifies Timothy as his son in the faith. And so there is a very close connection here. We also know from Scripture that Timothy's mother and grandmother are mentioned. But his father was a Greek, and we don't know much about his father. Possibly his father was absent from his life. We don't know. So maybe even the Apostle Paul, not merely just being a spiritual mentor, a spiritual father in a way to Timothy, maybe he even helped to fill that physical father role in Timothy's life. But regardless of how their relationship was, we know it was very close. And at this point of this writing, it was probably a 15-year-old relationship, maybe longer. So they've known each other for a while, and they've developed a close connection here. And so he refers to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Then look down at verse 3. He says, I thank God, whom I served for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And so he refers to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. And then he says, essentially, I thank God for your salvation. You see that verse 3? He says, I thank God. And then there's some other phrases here, but then he finishes up his thought there. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. I am thankful to God, Timothy, that you are saved. That's what he's saying there. And then look back to verse 3. He says that he, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So, Timothy, I'm thankful you're saved. Timothy, I'm praying for you constantly. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Hey, Timothy, not only am I praying for you, I wish, I'm longing for it. I wish we could be together again. I remember that last time we had to part, and I remember how tearful it was. So you see here this very deep, close connection between these two men, the Apostle Paul and Timothy, his beloved son. So what is the Apostle Paul doing? Well, he is building up Timothy. He's encouraging Timothy. He's trying to strengthen Timothy. Say, Timothy, I care about you. I'm praying for you. I love you, Timothy. And then we get down there to verse number 6. He's building up Timothy. He's encouraging Timothy. And then verse number 6. Wherefore, now with all this in mind, Timothy, my beloved son, all we've been through, all we've gone through together, I'm praying for you. I love you. I'm on your side. I'm rooting for you, Timothy. Wherefore, with all this in mind, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So you can see as we look at this passage, why I believe that the main thrust, the main emphasis in this passage is actually verse number 6. Not verse number 7. Paul is driving at this idea of Timothy, stir up the gift of God. And then verse number 7, it's 7 is more of a subpoint helping to explain or to expand on verse number 6, that idea of stirring up the gift of God. So I would say that the main point of this passage that it speaks to Timothy and then by application it speaks to us is that we need to stir up the gift of God that is in us. So let's first look at this idea of stir up the gift of God in us. Verse number 6, what does it mean to stir up the gift of God? What does it mean? Well, let's think about what does it mean for Timothy? Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So the Apostle Paul is saying, Timothy, I want you to remember your ordination. That's what he's saying. He says, this is a gift of God, the gift of prophesying or pastoring or preaching, because he mentions the putting on of my hands. That's referencing his ordination when the Apostle Paul himself made a statement to the church, essentially saying, hey, I am putting my confidence on Timothy. I believe that God's called him, that God's equipped him to do the work of ministry. And so verse number 6, he is saying, Timothy, remember, I have confidence in you that you can do the work of a pastor. I'm confident that God's called you. I'm confident that God is going to do a work through you. And he says, Timothy, I want you to remember that. I want you to stir up this gift of God that's in you. So that term stir up, what is that getting at? That word, it really means to rekindle. Now, I grew up in the country, so we would do bonfires, different things like that. And everybody here been to a bonfire, a good old-fashioned bonfire? I hope you have. I think that's pretty American, right? We like to grill out hot dogs and marshmallows and all that. You know, in Australia, they don't have s'mores in Australia. I'm like, these people, they are missing out. But so you've all done the whole hot dogs and marshmallows and everything. So when you start off with that bonfire, okay, that fire is blazing, right? It is. It's just throwing up embers, flames, and it's hot. You have to stand back because it is too hot. Okay, so as the night goes on, right, the fire gets down. Okay, now you can come closer. You can gather around. You can start cooking your hot dogs. And then as it dies down even more, then you get the marshmallows out and you do your s'mores. But, you know, as the night continues to go on, what happens to that fire? And it gets a little chillier around. And then all of a sudden somebody is sitting there thinking, and then there's a little breeze that comes by and like, whoa, it got a little cool. So let's throw some more logs on the fire. So what do? You start poking around in the embers. You start throwing on a couple more logs. You get that fire rekindled. And so that's the idea here, this term, to stir up, to rekindle this gift that God has put inside of you. Rekindle that, stir that up, get it going again. Bring it back to life. That word rekindle, it has the idea of a living thing and fire. And so this is a living fire. This is not just a little dying little flame. This is a living fire. And so our fire, we need to rekindle this flame that God has put in us. And when we do that, notice, what does a fire do? A fire, it affects its environment. The heat emanates from the logs, right? It sends out light. It influences its environment. You know, if we're not rekindling our fire, then we fail to influence those around us, the people that God has put under our ministry. You know, fire also attracts attention. You know, when we stir up the gift of God in us, we draw attention to the glory of God and what he's doing in our church, in our life, in our ministry. And it brings people to the gospel. It's so critical that when we serve God, that we are serving God stirred up. So let's stir up this gift of God that's in us. Let's make that a point as we serve God. We could say it like this, the main point of verse number 6, to serve stirred. Serve stirred. That's what God wants us to do. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, and that's what we ought to do as well. So the main point here, that the Apostle Paul wants Timothy getting going in this book, and the first admonition he gives Timothy is serve stirred. But then notice verse number 7. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, he is explaining now to Timothy in verse number 7 why it is that we are to serve stirred. Why is it that we should serve stirred? Well, one reason is because God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know, fear is like a fire extinguisher for your spiritual flame. The moment you allow fear to take control of your heart, then you're limiting your service for God. You know, fear paralyzes. Fear paralyzes. When you allow fear, when you allow worry, when you allow doubt and anxiety to control you, you don't know what to do. You don't do anything. It's impossible to move the ministry of Christ forward when you are paralyzed by fear. Fear dampens our spirit. It makes our service timid. Fear will put out our fire. So if we're going to serve stirred, we have to put away that fear. We have to put away that fear. So what is fear? What does the word fear here mean? Well, it has the idea of timidity. Fearfulness, want of courage or boldness to face danger. Habitual cowardice. It's a lack of courage. Here's another description of fear. Fear includes anxiety, dread, and loss of courage in the face of an unpleasant or dangerous situation. Again, that idea of loss of courage. This main emphasis of this word is it's a lack of courage, or it is cowardice. That's the idea here. And so when we allow cowardice, fear, to take control of our hearts, then we limit our service for Christ. But we cannot live in fear. We cannot allow ourselves to be guided or controlled by fear. General George S. Patton is attributed to saying, "I never take counsel of my fears." The moment we listen to our fears is the moment we stop serving God. So let's think about fear for a minute. Let's think about some potential fears that Timothy had to face, even right here in this book. First of all, look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, Timothy was faced with the very real fear of ridicule. Here the Apostle Paul says, don't be ashamed that you are my partner. You're partner with the Lord. But accept the affliction. You know, this is a very real fear that we have in our culture, this fear of ridicule. People making fun of us for believing in Christianity. You know, I was out going door to door one day in Ohio. And I saw a man on his front porch, and he was out there smoking a cigarette. I went up to him to give him a packet from the church, and he told me he was an atheist, and he got to the point in his life where he realized he wanted to stop believing fairy tales. You know, he's ridiculing Christianity, right? The truth of Scripture. You know, if we're not careful, we'll allow that fear to paralyze. I'm going to stop going out telling people about Christ because I don't want to put up with that ridicule. What else was Timothy potentially dealing with? Go to verse 15. Verse 15 says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." Timothy could have been faced with the very real fear of rejection. Here the Apostle Paul makes mentions to a group, people in Asia, these folks that have turned away from him. And Timothy could be facing a similar possibility. Maybe he's thinking, oh, these people that have turned away from Paul, they're going to cut me off because I'm with Paul. Who else is going to cut me off? Already these people have cut us off. You know, if we're not careful, we'll allow this fear of rejection to keep us from being effective in service. I just want to make people happy so that way we can get along, and so that way, you know, nobody will reject me, and we start to compromise, and we start to minimize our service to Christ. Our flame starts to go out because we're more worried about serving people than we are about Christ. How about this? 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. The fear of rigor. Verse 3 says, this is Apostle Paul talking again to Timothy. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So Timothy could have been thinking, you know what, I'm done with this ministry life. It's too hard. The rigor of life is just, it's overwhelming. So ridicule, rejection, rigor. Verse 16 of chapter 2 through 18, false teachers. Timothy could have been fearful of false teachers. Verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." You know, Timothy could have said, you know what, I struggle to answer these heretics and these people that have turned away from the truth of the gospel, and I'm tired of dealing with false teachers. I'm tired of arguing and apologetics and standing for the truth, and so I'm out. go over to chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Here we see the Apostle Paul coming to the close of his ministry. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." How about the very real fear of loss? As Timothy now gets word from the Apostle Paul that he is soon to depart this world, this father figure for this young preacher, Timothy, you know, he could have been thinking, how am I going to continue on in ministry without my mentor? Although at this time, he's probably not just a young preacher anymore, but he's definitely still not to where the Apostle Paul was. He might have been thinking, you know what, I'm so inadequate. How am I going to continue on in ministry? I need the Apostle Paul's encouragement. I need his prayers. He might have been tempted to think, you know what, I'm set up for failure now. Without the Apostle Paul to give me counsel or guidance. These are thoughts that really could have been going through his mind. And if he had allowed all of those fears to overwhelm him, he would be static in ministry. He would be ineffective. And so here the Apostle Paul in verse 7 is saying, Timothy, don't take counsel of your fears. Don't focus on the fear. But rather, we need to focus on what God has given us. We'll get to that in verse 7 in just a second. But before we move on, let's take a second to think, what are our fears? What are the fears in our life that are keeping us from serving God effectively? That are keeping us from serving with passion, with zeal, with fervor, in that stirred up, rekindled sort of manner. That excited sort of manner. I'm excited to serve God. What are the fears that are keeping us from exercising? Really, it's exercising the gift that God has given us. We've all been given a spiritual gift. Have you allowed something into your life, a fear into your life, that has caused you to hold back on exercising that spiritual gift, or has caused you to hold back in serving God to some capacity? It could be in the area of witness. It could be in the area of serving in church. Some people might think, well, there's too much hassle nowadays with youth ministry. And so I'm done with that. I'm tired of the headaches there. I'm fearful of what could happen to me when I step out and do this for Christ. I don't want to put a target on my back and have the world and the devil come at me. And so I'm just going to stay on the sidelines. What fear is it? Is it that keeps you back from serving the Lord? You know, we have a lot of things to fear in our current situation, whether it's politics. Just a few months ago, riots were happening in the streets, I guess a couple years ago. We see an anti-Christian sentiment rising in our nation. Maybe there's a person in your life, a neighbor, a coworker. But what is it that is causing you to fear? Could I encourage you tonight that God has not given us the spirit of fear? If you have that fear in your life, it is not of the Holy Ghost. You can know that for sure. So we don't need to listen to those fears. Here's a quote from Dr. Stanley Jones. "I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air, but in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air. A John Hopkins University doctor says, "We do not know why it is that warriors die sooner than non-warriors, but the fact is that's the fact. But I who am of simple mind think I know," he says. "We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul for faith, not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against reality." Think about that. God created us to live not by fear, but by faith. What fears are keeping you from serving God excitedly, energetically? Let me encourage you to talk to the Lord about that and acknowledge to Him that, "Lord, these are not from You. This is not the way You designed me to live. I want to live in faith." So let's not live against reality, as Dr. Jones said, but let's live in faith. So to serve stirred, we need to keep that fire extinguisher of fear away. But rather, we need to put fuel on our fire. So we looked at verse 7, that first phrase, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." So why should we serve stirred? Well, because God's not given us a spirit of fear to go around timid and cowardly, keeping our little flame to ourselves. That's not of God. But why should we serve stirred? Because God has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. God wants us to explode in service to Him. So let's put on these fuels and fuel our fire. And if we look at these three fuels, if you will, they're going to show us this is how we serve stirred. This is how we serve to the fullest of our capacity, is by allowing the Holy Spirit to implement these characteristics into our life. So let's begin looking at these three fuels for our fire. First of all, the fuel of power. "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." That word power, it means ability. This is ability for service. And if God has given you a spiritual gift, if you know Christ as your Savior, God has given you at least one spiritual gift. And so you know what that means? It means that God has given you the power, the ability to serve Him in some capacity. Think about that. God has equipped you. He has enabled you. To serve Him. Let that soak in. Realize this. God has given you the power to serve Him. Romans 12:3. "God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." And then He gives a list of spiritual gifts. God has given you a measure of faith to do a work. Do you believe that? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. That's the Bible. So God has given you the power. He has given you the ability. You know what that should do for us? That should give us confidence. Hey, God Almighty is enabling me to do a work. Hey, I can't fail as long as I am allowing Him and His power to work through me. You believe God fails? Raise your hand if you believe God fails. I don't see any hands. All right. So we can't fail if we are serving God, using His power that He has given us to do the job He has called us to do. So we ought to rely on God, and we ought to do it. We ought to jump in and do it. We ought to say, "All right, Lord, stir up my flame. Get me going." And so first of all, we need to realize that God has given us the power. He has given us the ability. All right, so that's the first fuel for our fire. Second of all, God has given us a spirit of love. So power is ability, and it gives us motivation. Second of all, He's given us a spirit of love, God's given us power, that's ability, and that gives us confidence. Second of all, God's given us a spirit of love, and that gives us motivation. Motivation for service. What motivates us to love and to serve God? Well, because He first loved us. right? We love Him because He first loved us. When we stop and think and truly consider what God has done for us, that ought to motivate us to reciprocate that love. Think about this. You would not exist if it weren't for God, your Creator. You wouldn't be here. Don't you think you ought to show Him some love and respect for that? And then second of all, if it weren't for God and Jesus Christ, our Savior, we would be lost, separated from God in our own sin, headed to eternal separation from God. But God made a way for us to be redeemed back to Him. Don't you think you ought to show God a little bit of love and sacrifice? Absolutely. And you know what? God has given us a spirit of love. Think about Ananias in Acts chapter 9. And I might be reading in between the lines here a little bit, but consider this. Ananias, I believe, allowed love to motivate him to do something even though he could have been fearful. I mean, God comes to him and says, hey, there's this guy named Saul. He's on Straight Street at the house of Judas. I want you to go there and heal him so he can receive his sight. And Ananias is thinking, Saul, I've heard that name before somewhere. Wait a minute. He's not a nice guy. He goes around putting Christians in jail. So he says, God, I've heard of this guy named Saul. And he's got permission to lock Christians up. And God says, I want you to go so that he can receive his sight. I've got a work for him to do. All right, so no, I'm human, and I know Ananias is human. So I think Ananias, unless he's some super Christian, he is probably thinking, I don't know if this is a good idea. That temptation to have some fear? Who's with me there? Would you be eager to go get on a plane and fly over to China and lay your hands on the leader of China, President Xi or whatever his name is, and so that he can receive sight because he's all of a sudden had a miraculous change of mind? All right? Who's on that plane? I don't think so. So Ananias, he's confronted. Am I going to give in to fear? Or am I going to allow the Holy Spirit given love in my heart to motivate me to obey God? Am I going to allow that Holy Spirit given love for this man who formerly persecuted Christians to cause me to go down the Straight Street to the house of Judas and lay my hands on him so he can receive his sight? You know, I'm thankful that Ananias allowed love to win over fear. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a text tonight. Think about all the people influenced by the Apostle Paul. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit puts it in our heart. He draws us by these cords of love to do something. And you might think, it's just giving a cup of cold water or something. It's not that big a deal. I don't have time. And you quench that fire and you just go on. I've done it. I wonder how many times we have missed influencing someone's life because we didn't listen to the Holy Spirit and that message of love that He wanted us to step out and act and do something. We allowed our service to be ineffective. We didn't allow that love to stir up our service for God. So let's pour that fuel of love on our flame so that we can serve stirred. So we need to put the fuel of power and of love. And then thirdly, the third fuel is a sound mind. If we're going to serve stirred, we need to put on the fuel of a sound mind. So if power is ability, it gives us confidence. If love is a motivation and it moves us to action, a sound mind is stability. It gives us stability in service. That word here for sound mind, it's actually not a common word. I believe this is the only time it's used in the New Testament specifically. There are some related words that are used elsewhere. So to give us a little bit of an understanding of what this word is getting at, if you go to Mark chapter 5, verse 15, I'll read it for you. A related word is used in Mark 5:15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. Okay, so Jesus, after he had just healed the maniac of Gadara, this guy who was out of his mind, he was insane, he was possessed of a devil, or many devils. It says that he was clothed in his right mind. So the idea here of sound mind, you're in your right mind. You are controlled of mind. You have control of your faculties. That's the idea here, that we need to be in control of our thinking. Or rather, the Holy Spirit should have control of our thinking. Hey, when we allow fear to run away with our thoughts, sometimes our thoughts are pretty insane, aren't they? We can allow them to run all over the place and end up in some pretty bizarre places. I mean, think about it. Have you ever caused yourself a lot of anxiety over something because you allow a fear to kind of run away with you, and then you get to whatever it was and it was nothing? I've done stuff like that before, I'm sure. You know, Timothy, he had all those things that he could have worried about. We have a whole bunch of things in our life, too, I'm sure, that we could worry about, we could fear. But we cannot allow fear to drive our thinking, because it ends us up really almost insane, out of control of our thinking. Worry has so many negative consequences. Let's think about it. Worry can waste a lot of time. It can waste a lot of time. Man, I have spent so much time worrying. I could probably have a doctorate in worrying, okay? It wastes time. Worrying is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. It's just a waste of time. Why worry when you can trust? Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. Why worry? Here's a neat little story. For several years, a woman had been having trouble getting to sleep at night because she feared burglars. One night, her husband heard a noise in the house, so he went downstairs to investigate. When he got there, he did find a burglar. "Good evening," said the man of the house. "I'm pleased to see you. Come upstairs and meet my wife. She has been waiting 10 years to meet you." But think about that. All the sleep she lost over 10 years of nothing. Worry wastes a lot of time. Worry can cost us a lot of peace of mind. It can cost us peace of mind. Here's one couple strategy for dealing with their worry. Here's what they did. The husband says, "To act out the principle of turning prayers over to God, we took a paper bag, wrote God on it, and taped it up high on the back of our kitchen door. As I prayed about matters such as my career, my role as a father, my abilities to be a good husband, I would write down each concern on a piece of paper. Then those pieces of paper would go in the bag. The rule was, if you started worrying about the matter of prayer that you've turned over to God, you have to climb up on a chair and fish it out of the bag. I don't want to admit how much time I spent sifting through those scraps of paper." Hey, if you need help with worry, maybe that's the solution for you. I don't know. But worry, it costs us peace of mind. And this man here, he said that, "I don't want to admit how much time I spent sifting through those scraps of paper." Because he allowed those worries to get back in after he went to God in prayer, and he allowed it again to affect his thinking. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why worry when you can trust God? Which is better? Then why is it? Why is it we so often tend to fall back on worry? Worry, it wastes time. It costs us peace of mind. A worry can keep us from accomplishing things for God. Can you think of a time where you allowed a worry or a fear to keep you from stepping out and serving God? I want to challenge you tonight. If you can identify a time where worry kept you from stepping out, fear kept you from stepping out to serve God in some capacity, especially if it's in the capacity of using your spiritual gift, I want to encourage you to make that a matter of prayer. Talk to God about that and say, God, why is it? Why did I fail to step out there? What do I need to change in my thinking, in my faith, so that the next time I'm in that situation, I will step out. I will meet the challenge. I will serve you. Because worry can keep us from accomplishing things for God. And if we never deal with the worry, if we never deal with the fear, the next time the same situation comes along, we're most likely to repeat it. This gets me when it comes to witnessing all the time. That fear of going up to someone and sharing the gospel, or even as simple as handing them a tract, inviting them to church. And sometimes we allow that fear to overcome us. And we don't step out. We don't follow through. Oftentimes, probably because we haven't preceded the situation in prayer. We haven't been on our knees. We haven't been living a life of faith, trusting God, making God an integral part of our life, so that when we come to the situation, we're worried, we're fearful, because we haven't done what we need to do to be confident. You know, I look at me and I say, you know what, if I would be more prayerful, if I'd be more mindful about praying for divine appointments, praying that God would give me opportunities to share the gospel, when those opportunities came along, I'd probably be a whole lot more confident, a whole lot more bold in stepping out and actually sharing the gospel, because I would realize this is what God is doing. I heard a preacher say one time that oftentimes we treat prayer like the precursor to the battle. But Jesus Christ treated prayer like the battle. You know, if we do not get on our knees, if we do not fight the battle on our knees, then I don't know that we'll have the power, the love, and the soundness of mind to win the battle. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hey, our day, our age is scary time for Christians. It's uncertain times for everybody. Fear, worry, anxiety is rampant all around our world. It really wasn't that much different in Timothy's days, though, I would imagine. He had a lot of things confronting him. And you know what? We still serve the same God that Timothy served, who has the same power, the same ability, We still have the same Holy Spirit that's giving us that spirit of love and giving us that soundness of mind so that we can serve stirred. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray we take it to heart. Lord, I need it. Our country needs it, Lord. The believers in this country, Lord, we need to serve stirred. I pray you'd fill us, Lord, with your power, your love, and your soundness of mind. Pastor.
Thank you for drawing our attention to such a very practical and important text. And, you know, God in his providence puts us all in a place to serve him and to be faithful. He gives us duties that we're supposed to be faithful in. And that's a very sobering thing. It's a very fearful thing. And we will always have a remembrance of our own limits. We're always going to remember there'll be people that don't like what we're doing. There's going to be hardship that we'll face. And fear is something that is easy to grip all of our hearts. But God would never call us to something he would not enable us to do. And he is never going to call us to do something that he won't give us the grace to serve and love in. And he always wants to order our thinking so that it's biblical. It's consistent with the truth. It's clear-minded. And so those are graces. God pours them into our lives. And so where we are, what God's called us to, the duties that we are responsible to follow through with, he's going to give us everything that we need to do it. But we've got to believe that. And we've got to actually live as if we believe that. And so it's an extremely important concept. Let's go ahead and turn our hymn books, please, to hymn 397, Higher Ground. Higher Ground, we're going to sing the first and the fourth verses of this hymn together. So let's stand, please. You can't sit down if you're going to sing Higher Ground. Stand and let's really sing it out.
On the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My feet on heaven's stable land, the higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale.
And let me encourage you that there is no living person that does not face fear and anxiety at times. And there's no person that doesn't go through moments where they feel pretty crippled and they don't think clearly and they think pretty irrationally. We are all made of the same stuff. But God has given us everything we need to be able to serve him in spite of the fears and the anxieties and the difficulties. And sometimes one of the best things that we can do is just to sit down and have a good conversation with a godly Christian brother or sister. That is so very important. And sometimes as we share what we're thinking and we hear it ourselves, we go, that's not true. That's not true. That's not what's really going on. I have no idea if that's going to happen. Sometimes just hearing us say that kind of gets our thinking clear. You know what I mean? And then sometimes letting a dear brother or sister just share with us. They're not emotionally feeling it the same way we are. They love us, and so they're feeling it as we tell them how we feel, but it's not the same. And they're able to just share with us some things. And so many times, I've experienced this many times, that as someone shares with me and I'm listening, I'm going, I know that's true. I know that's true. and it just brings clarity. And so that's why we need the body of Christ. That's why we need each other. So thank you for that encouragement, and let's be willing to have these conversations, and let's be willing to listen and just be a blessing to those who need that in those times. Brother Hansel, it's so good to see you. Welcome back. He's now engaged. And this week we're going to start pre-marriage counseling. Woo, that's big time right there. You better listen well. That's a blessing. Good to have you. I'd like to ask you to close us in prayer. And good to see each of you out tonight. I hope that you can make it back Wednesday as we continue our series through so many foundational issues in relation to family. And as you've seen in these studies, they're not just family, but they're lots of foundational principles. And I hope that they'll be an encouragement and help to you. Brother Hansel.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for a wonderful day you've given us, Lord. Please be with us, Lord, and that we may enjoy the fellowship afterwards. And thank you, Lord, so much that the teams were able to go to the wilds and enjoy a wonderful service, that hearts were met, needs were filled up, and lives were turned around. Please be with all the adults here as they have a long week of work and things are going on, Lord. But help us, Christ, remember, Lord, that you have not given us a spirit of fear. Help us, God, to push through and just pray and rekindle our fire every day. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.